All right, it's Johnny Valenzuela again for A Fleeting Glimpse, this time backstage here with G.E. Smith and a beautiful acoustic guitar parked right next to him. G.E., your first Roger Waters tour, how has it been?
It's fantastic. I would have to say it changed my life.
Really?
Yep.
Was it all you expected and more different? What?
I truly didn't know what to expect, you know, other than that I learned the music. I think that's the obvious part, but it's really it's at a wonderful level of professionalism, and if anybody's seen the show, they know the production's fantastic, and I think the band's doing a pretty good job. You know, we try, so it's really been great, and I've met a lot of great people here. You know,
how did you get involved? Who contacted you, or did you look into it? How did that happen?
You know, you meet somebody and then you meet somebody else, and eventually I met Roger and we started talking, and it just kind of worked out.
Were you a Pink Floyd, Roger Waters fan prior to this, or casual, devoted fan, any level of that?
Well, I certainly knew the music. You know, you could hardly live in America and drive around in a car without knowing these songs, you know. So, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How long did you spend learning the material?
I spent July and August, July and most of August, like really like going to work, you know, punching in every day and really living with it. And I learned it on acoustic guitar, electric guitar, and bass also, you know, so I'd be ready for whatever happened because I didn't know what exactly I was going to do. And as it turned out, I get to play all those things at different points in the show.
Sure. At the beginning point, I suppose you guys hadn't divvied out the parts yet, so you got to be ready for any of it, right?
Right, right. You know, I think Roger knew what was going to happen, but the rest of us didn't.
Did you know, say, Dave or Kilminster or Snowy White prior to this tour?
Well, I've been aware of Snowy's playing for many years. I'm a big Snowy White fan. Dave, I didn't know prior to the tour, but they're both fantastic musicians and really nice guys, you know, to be around.
With three guitarists, does it take a lot to find your spaces?
Not really, because the way that this music is laid out, the way they originally made the record, there's a lot of guitar parts on the record. Some songs have, you know, six different guitars on them, you know, just doing little things. So there's plenty to do, and I get to play a lot of bass as Roger does this sort of acting and things in the show, you know.
Do you like playing bass?
Yeah, I do. I do, because to me, you know, this is rock and roll is rhythm-based music, so it starts with the drums and the bass. So, yeah, I love to get down in there with Graham Broad, the great drummer here with us, and really dig in with it.
Now, of course, so many people know you from leading the Saturday Night Live band for all the years that you did. And you had a who's who of musicians coming through Saturday Night Live the years that you were playing. Not to deter too much from the wall here for a moment, but was there any... of all the musicians coming through there, was there any one that sort of stuck out in your mind as being a lot of fun or perhaps a lot of work? Or was there sort of a standout above the pack?
Well, there were a lot of... What I got to do on Saturday Night Live that was really great was after it got rolling. I was there for 10 years. After it got rolling a few years and it started, you know, doing well, I could then invite any guitar player that was in town to come and sit in with the band, and the camera would come up and there would be David Gilmour or Johnny Winter or Buddy Guy or Eddie Van Halen or whoever it was that week, and that got to be a kind of a little thing, you know, and it was fun. It was fun, you know. I've had a lot of bands you know, over the years say, oh man, we used to like turn it on just to see who was going to be sitting in, you know.
Sure.
So that was fun.
And When that was done for you, did you have a what's next plan, or were you taking some time off to kind of just relax a bit?
Well, you know, I've always been pretty lucky that one thing kind of followed another. You know, obviously there's some periods, you know, any artist, it doesn't maybe, unless you're Pablo Picasso or something, it doesn't just run boom all the way through success, but I've been pretty lucky to always get work.
Yeah, and you played with Dylan for a while also, right?
I did.
How was that?
That was amazing. I learned so much from him. You know, he would, I mean, he wouldn't sit there and lecture me or anything, but he would say, hey, why don't you listen to this? Or here, give me a, you know, something to listen. He'd say, try this, listen to this. We'd you know, throw songs back and forth. And he knows every song there is. So, yeah, I got a lot from him.
Yeah, and he has a huge body of work. So that must have been a lot of homework for you.
Well, I'd been a big Bob Dylan fan, so I probably knew, like, the first 10 or 11 albums already, you know. So I had that access to his music already. That was really fun, you know. That was the total opposite of this. You know, this is very structured.
Sure.
The nature of the show here, the wall, it's very structured. The Bob thing, we'd be walking to the stage saying, what do you want to start with? And then it would just be almost random from there, you know, all audible calls.
Do you and the other two guitarists on this tour, obviously you guys are all stunning players, you're got your parts all figured out. Is there any friendly rivalry, or is there any room for, you know, I'd say friendly rivalry of you know, trying to kind of, hey, let me throw a lick your way, you know, can you top that? You know, do you have those moments on stage?
Me and Snowy have a little, like, we look at each other sometimes, but no, I know, like, there are a lot of bands where you get to do that. This isn't that kind of thing. There's never really a point where we're soloing together, you know. I had kind of hoped for that in the beginning, that I would get to do, like, a kind of a bluesy back and forth thing with Snowy, but it's not really in this show. But we have a lot of fun, you know, we do.
I suppose in the rehearsals, in your downtime in rehearsals, that was when you got to sort of, you know, gunsling a bit, right?
Well, generally, the real gunslinging goes on right here in the wardrobe room. Oh. A lot of times, now tonight we didn't have time because we got here real late because of the weather, but we'll set up amps and stuff in here, and we've had some muddy jams in here, haven't we, Ame? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Two more nights in the U.S., 3 dates in Mexico, a little break, and then I think it's like 60 days in Europe or something like that.
61 shows in Europe, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Starting mid-March. And I'm going out with Hot Tuna for February, starting January 28th and February and the first part of March.
So in that downtime to go from this extremely structured situation to be, you know, trading solos with Yorma,
right,
I mean,
right.
That's like night and day, right?
Night and day, yeah, absolutely, you know.
Boy, that's going to be... probably a nice break. Not that this is bad, but to take a little break from this, right?
They're both really good things.
Cool. Well, looking forward to hearing the licks tonight and the chops and a little bass playing as well.
Great, Johnny. Thank you, man.
You bet. G.E. Smith, thank you.